As we agreed, I'm going to talk about Sufi in response to this. In Sufism, there is a huge literature about this subject. But I am going to just present one piece of poem of Rumi on this subject and recite it in Farsi to you experience music and melody of original Sufi texts, and then Hasti will translate to English and recite in English. And then we can have a discussion. When we are talking about this, first question is that, what is this? Is it destruction or is it the essential transformation of life? According to Sufi, this is the essential transformation of life. These answers, it is based on their perspective on life and the origin of life. Sufi believe, ma ze balaim o bala miravim. Ma ze daryaim o darya miravim. Ma az anja vo از اینجا نیستی، ما ز بیجاییم و بیجا می‌رویم. We are from above and we are going up. We are from the sea and we go to the sea. We are not from there and from here. We are out of place and we are going out of place. Then based on this poem, our origin, it is from above of this world, it is from absent, and we are going to go to the absent world, which is other than one place. But most famous poem in Sufi literature is this piece that I am going to recite for you in Farsi, and then Hasti will recite in English for you. In this poem, Rumi explained different aspects and steps and stages of life. Al jamadi mordam o nami shodam, vaz nama mordam be heyvan barzadam. Mordam az heyvani o adam shodam, pas che tarsam kheyz mordam. Hamle digar bemiram az bashar, پا برارم از ملائک بال و پر. و از ملک هم بایدم جستن ز جو، کل شیئن حالک الا وجهه، کل شیئن حالک الا وجهه. بار دیگر از ملک قربان شدم، آنچه اندر وحی ناید آن شوم. پس عدم گردم عدم چون ارغنون، رویدم که نا الیه راجعون. رویدم که نا الیه راجعون. مرگ دان آن که اتفاق امت است، خواب حیوان نهانی در ظلمت است. همچون نیلوفر به روز این طرف جو، همچون مستقصی حریص و مرگ جو. مرگ او آب است و او جویای آب، می خورد والله اعلم بالصلا. ای فسرده عاشق ننگین نمد، کوز بیم جان ز جانان میرمد. سوی تیغ عشقش ای ننگ زنم، صد هزاران جان نگر دستک زنم. جوی دیدی کوز اندر جوی ریز، آب را از جوی کی باشد کنید. آب کوزه در آب جو شود، محو گردد در وی و جو او شود. وصف او فانی شد و ذاتش بقا، زین سپس محکم شود نه بد لقا. Now Hasti is going to recite in English.
The translation that I'll be reading today is Nicholson's translation of Rumi's poetry. I died to the inorganic state and became endowed with growth, and then I died to vegetable and attained to the animal. I died from animality and became human. Why then should I fear when I have become less by dying? At the next move, I shall die to human, that I may soar and lift up my head amongst the angels. And I must escape even from the state of the angel. Everything is perishing except his face. Once more, I shall be sacrificed and die to the angel. I shall become that which enters not into the imagination. Then I shall become non-existence. Non-existence saith to me in tones loud as an organ, verily, unto him shall we return. No death to be the thing signified by what the Mohammedan community are agreed upon, namely that the water of life is hidden in the land of darkness. Grow from this riverbank like the water lily, greedy and craving for death as a sufferer from dropsy. The water is death to him, and yet he is seeking the water and drinking it, and God best knoweth the right course. Oh, the cold lover, clad in the felt garment of shame, who from fear of losing his life is fleeing from the beloved. O thou disgrace to woman, behold hundreds of thousands of souls clapping their hands and rushing towards the sword of his love. Thou hast seen the river, spill thy jug in the river. How should the water take flight from the river? When the water in the jug goes into the river water, it disappears in it, and it becomes the river. The lover's attributes have passed away, and his essence remains. After this, he does not dwindle or become ill-favored.
Thank you. As you may understand the concept of this meaning, Rumi in this poem referred to different chapter of life. According to Sufi, we don't have one chapter in life. Our life divided to several chapter, and never ever will die. We are eternal being that forever will live. There is no death. Each death is introduction to go to next level, and this is based on Sufi understanding of concept of existence, of being, and the origin of being. And Rumi refers in this poem to some verses of Quran, which one of them is very important and essential for all Sufi, that I recite this verse. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are from God and we are going back to God. We are from Him and we will return to Him. Then our life divided to several chapters. One chapter before this life in this world, another chapter, life in this world, and next chapter, life in the next level of existence, or another level of existence, which we call in Islamic Sufism and Quranic terminology, absent world, alam al-qayb. And when we go to next level of life after transcendent from life in this world, we go to intermediate world and living for 1,000 years. And after that, again, all of us will transcend it to another level of life. And forever, we stay there. The important issue on this and life on Sufism, it is based on the qualitative or essence of life and death. That how is essence of our life based on how we live in this world, we live in next world. In Jahan, who has to feel a monadar? This world, it is mountain, and our action will echo in this world and in next world. Then our next life depend on our action, our behavior in this world. Towards who? Toward what? Towards at first ourselves, towards society, towards nature, and towards super existence, holy super existence that in different religion called him by different terminology, Lord, necessity, being, or whatever. Then four issues it is important. How is our communication, our relationship with ourselves, society, nature, and God? Most important part of these four type of relationship, it is our relationship with society. That if our relationship with society will be on justice and good, and we did ta'awanu ala al-birr wa taqwa, and we cooperate with society for good issue, then in next level of life, we will have very beautiful life. But if we had unjust behavior with society, with people, whoever we are, politician, businesswoman and man, or it is man, the man of the religion, whoever, then this effect on our life in the next world, and we will receive the feedback. Very important issue here in Sufism, which is in some way difference from the other religion, it is about the hell and paradise, living in hell or paradise. That God punish us or give us good feedback, or it is feedback and reaction of our being. Based on Sufism, we create true garden, paradise, and we create hell. With any action we created one type of being, which this new being could be beautiful or could be so ugly. This new existence that I created with my action will be with me forever and will remain with me in next life. Then beauty of my life, especially in the next level of life, it is based on beauty and action in this life. Then, based on the Sufism, there is very deep connection between this life and next life. In some way, contradictory to Aristotelian philosophy, in Sufism, we have unity of existence. Existence is united, and we face with one unity. But this unity have divided to several levels or have thousands manifestation. There is just one being, which is who? La ilaha illa hu, And this holy super existence presented thousands of manifestations. And then me, as a person, as a manifestation, created different type of manifestation that will affect on my identity. I will shape my identity in this world and in the next world. In Sufism, we don't have the essential sin by humankind. Humankind, in their nature, they are pure. But when we come to this world and start our life, after a while, maybe we do some bad behavior, mainly with the society, and then this bad behavior affects on my heart, which is the essence of humankind. In Sufism, heart, it is the essence of human personality. And this heart, which is light and pure, step by step, maybe become dark. And this darkness affected on the whole of my identity. And I become dark. Or if I do good, I become light and lighter and light. Allahu Nur Samawat al-Ars. Allah, God, it is the light of everything. And He is light of light, Nur al-Anwar. And then, Allahu Waliyul Lazina Amanu Yukhrijuhum Min al-Zulamat ila-Nur. Allah guide us to the light and lead us. And if even we are in darkness, He guide us to light. And if we practice good thing, then my identity become light and become white. And I become a pure light. And finally, I will join to light of the light. But if, for example, we do something wrong with God, with Holy Supernature, He said, for example, pay, for example, namaz, the religious obligation, communication with God. Then later, if I did some mistake, I didn't do something, I can ask from God to forgive me, and God will forgive me. God is a person who forgives everybody when call for forgiveness. But if we do something wrong with the society, with other people, with other neighbors, with other nation, even God cannot forgive this sin. Even God cannot forgive this unjust behavior. Except that human forgive us. Then based on the Sufi, it is important that we have beautiful and peaceful behavior with our society. If then how we can shape and create beautiful life, it is based on how we created peaceful and lovely relationship with other humankind beyond of their religion, nationality, gender, sect, and color. According to Sufi, all of us, sister and brother, there is no differentiation between Iranian and American, African and Asian, man and woman, black and white, and whatever. All of us from one origin, and all of us return to this super origin. But this return and quality of this next life, it is depend on how I manage my relationship with other member of the society. And we created our new life. We shape our new life, not God. It is not determination that we go to hell or to paradise. God himself not created hell or paradise. We create with our activity, and then we will receive these places, this imagination that we created by ourselves. Then by this type of understanding of life and death, based on Sufism, in reality, there is no any 100% death. However, we always have life, but transcended from one chapter to another chapter of life, call it death. This, it means end of one chapter and go to next chapter. Another aspect on this issue based on the Sufi, according to this analyze, transcendent from this world to next world, it is good news. It is not bad issue. It is very happy issue because we go to better level of existence. And then we see the better world, better existence. Then this, according to Sufi, all of us should waiting for this and should welcome to this and should prepare ourselves to this, which is another type of life, and it is the real life. When we go to the next world, it is the real life. But this life, it is based on the thought and amal, how we think, how we will act. If my knowledge, my understanding, framework of my understanding on universe, on life, on society, it is beautiful. And if I do beautiful issue, then everything become beautiful. If not, then I see the darkness of my inner side. But this procedure, going from one chapter to another chapter, this is a procedure. In this procedure, there is some difficulty and there is some test. Many will fail in this test, except people who have faith, who have deep belief and do good behavior or best behavior. And during this best behavior, they will face some difficulty if they have patience for this trip, for this just action, then they will receive to very beautiful life. The next level of life, it is based on best action and patience for best action. Because when you want to do best action, the materialist people, society, they will stand against you. They will pressure to you. But if you have patience and not lose your hope and follow truth, follow justice, then you transcended to better life. This better life, it is just in the next life or even in this life we can have good life. It is another issue that Sufi talk about that when they talk about this. Sufi believe we can have beautiful life in this world and next world. But definition of beautiful life, it is based on my understanding of meaning of life, of meaning of universe, of meaning of the value. What is value for me? If just quantitative issue it is valid, then maybe I damage. But if qualitative issue it is my values, then always I will see happiness. Because based on the Sufism, happiness, it is not that that I have, for example, this amount of money or best car or beautiful house or whatever. Happiness in Sufism, it means liqa'ullah. It means seeing Holy Supernature. It means communication with Supernature. It means when you are here, you can fly to another world, see another world, and back again to this world, and give good services to the society. This is happiness. Happiness, it is liqa'ullah, seeing God, communication with Him, communication with absolute beauty, absolute power, absolute knowledge. This is happiness. Happiness, it is not that I have big wealth. Happiness is that we can have good communication with society and with Holy Supernature. Then my life become beautiful, and this life in this world and next world will be beautiful. In this world may be based on the materialism value, I am poor, but in essence, I am rich. For this reason, Sufi, Darwish, called Darwish, the Sadiq, the follower of spirituality, called them Faqir. Faqir, it means poor. There is just one rich existence, which is who? Which is Holy Supernature. Allahu Ghaniyun, just Lord, just our Lord is absolute rich. All of us poor and dependent on Him. And we become rich based on the level of our communication with Him. And level of my communication with society and the services that I give to the society. If I am a useful person for the society, then I become rich. If I just use society for my personal issue and I follow my selfishness, then in reality, I'm a poor person, very weak person. And my life is meaningless. Based on Sufi, meaning of life will fill with our beautiful action towards society and Allah. Then there is no death, just we have life in different level and Allah, but this life depends on the absolute life, which is the Allah that Sufi and Quran call Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy, it is one name of Allah, which is very important. Al-Hayy. And God give us this life, and Sufi master give a spiritual life to his followers by his beautiful spirit and heart. Transfer his energy, positive energy, to this follower. And this follower from Cooper will change to the gold, change their essentiality and become gold. This is effect on the Sufi master, on the spiritual follower. Then both Allah and his successor in this world, which is Sufi master, will guide society and other people to find the meaning of life, the right way, and give beautiful life to them with their positive energy. Then I repeat again, the name of Al-Hayy, it is so important for life and death. Then I recite some few minutes Al-Hay Zikr, which is Zikr of Sufi for life and not for this. Because in Sufi, we have life, we don't have this. Okay, my speech finished. Then if you have question, I will answer.
Thank you so much, Ayatollah Safavi. I think I know I have some thoughts and some questions, and others may. And there's so many thoughts, really. I will throw one in. My instinct is to ask a question which slightly bothers me a little, which is the perspective on eternal life. I can appreciate that there is eternal life, but is there eternal identity in the sense that the Rumi poem that you recited implied that we all become part of the river or part of the sea, which is poignant and beautiful, and it's maybe truth. But do we, in becoming part of the sea or part of the ocean or part of the river, do we retain a sense of being, because we exist as an individual? And if we are to become part of the ocean, then do we lose that individual existence in eternity? That's my question.
But okay. In Sufism, as I said in my speech, Sufi believe to unity of being, Wahdatul Wujud. La ilaha illahu. There is nothing illa him. There is just one absolute being. Everything else, it is phenomena. It is manifestation. It is not being. It is just manifestation. Babel. Then Babel on the sea. Other, they are Babel on the sea. Then Babel with sea and joined to sea and always with him. But Babel is Babel. And the essence, the reality, it is the sea. Then in Sufi, there is just Holy Supernature. It is absolute being. Other, it is manifestation, and This is plurality, and this plurality link to unity. Then he said, unity in multiplicity, multiplicity in unity. It means God present himself by his manifestation, وَالْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. اسم الظاهر, appearance, name, presented by his manifestation, million thousands of manifestation that you call it individual. And then all of them back to his inner name, hidden name. وَالْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ, hidden name. Then اسم الظاهر created this manifestation, which in ordinary language you call it individual. And then all of them, all of this manifestation back to their origin. Then in Sufism, in reality, there is no any absolute individual. There is just one individual. We call it وحدت شخصية وجود, unity, individual unity of being or existence. But in philosophy, there is different aspect. In Mullah Sadr philosophy, believe we face different level of existence. The absolute existence, it is God, and then word of Jabra'il and other angels, and then word of the lower level, and then word of intermediate word, and then material word. Material word, lowest level. And we live in the material world, and then we will return again. How we return, this is based, the quality, this is based on our individual activity. Then in philosophy, you can have, there is some individuality. But in Sufism, there is no really individuality. There is just manifestation. And then Rumi said, as khiyali jangishan o sulhishan. For this reason, Sufi always joking this all type of war, because they believe, okay, all of this war, it is based on the imagination, that they believe really, really they are owner of something, they are owner of this market or that market, this land or that land, but this ownership, it is all temporary, and the real owner, it is God. He is God. We are not owner. We don't have anything. Everything that is in our hand is temporary. Then why we should war? Everything that you think that I am owner, this is just imagination. Never ever I can keep everything for myself or for my family. This is just temporary for a while. And then we lose and we go. Then Rumi said, as yawli jangishan usulishan. All war, it is based on their imagination, not in the reality. Then in Sufi, we have manifestation and return manifestation. There is no absolute individuality. Yeah. This is the answer of Rumi.
Thank you. Bahiyadin Alabrachi.
Well, I have to thank you very much for this very inspiring and excellent presentation that you have done. It really makes me very inquisitive about your writings, and it really inspired me a lot. There is a part of the Quran or an element of the Quran that really puzzles me. Because on the one hand, when we go to the world of, whether it's the second or the third world, That is, when we go to paradise or hell, they speak about eternal. On the other hand, there is, for example, in Surah Al-Qasas, but it repeats itself about Ayah 88, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٍ إِلَّا وَجْهًا لَوْ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تَرْجُعُونَ. Basically, it means, it refers to the fact that God is one, and we have to always pray to one God, and everything will expire except his face. So, and here I ask myself, if I am eternal in heaven, does it mean I don't expire? So how can he succeed me when I am eternal? Because he has given me eternal. And before I close, I have posed this question to some, and one of them gave me an answer, but I want to be illuminated by your thoughts and his answer. And his answer was that God has to only be understood in terms of his absoluteness beyond time and space. So you have to understand God beyond time and space. So he is here and there at the same time, and he is yesterday and today and tomorrow at the same time, because he is free from time and space. So even if we are eternal, we are eternal within the context of time. But time itself is not eternal, and therefore he succeeds us beyond the eternality of time. But I leave this to you to illuminate me on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Thank you. Good question. As you said, based on the philosophy, based on the Quran, we have two levels of word. Alamul Qaim, Alamul Shahada. Based on the philosophy, we have four words: Alam al-Lahut, Jabarut, Malakut, and Nasut. Based on the Sufism, four words: word of essence of God, and word of names of Allah, and then Jabarut, Malakut, Nasut nature. Then when we're citing Quran or refer to verses of Quran or refer to the Sufi text, we should know that they refer to which level of the world. Which level? There is a universe. This universe divided to several levels, to several layer of world. Then ayah or verses, refer to which level. Then kullu shay'in hawlik illa wajhahu. This is refer that this time and place will disappear. But absent word, alam al-ghayb, and the upper level, because even alam al-ghayb, as I said, divided to several levels. The essence of Allah's Zat and word of names of Allah, which called in Sufism Ayan Sabite, they remain. Then this other level will expire and return to their origin, which are manifested of the thousand name of Allah, which are in Ayan Sabite, word of names of Allah, Asma'ul Husna. And then it is the meaning. Then we have As you know, this is the verse of Quran, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. Then we are part of the spirit of Allah, part of the spirit of God. And then we back to our origin. Maulana said, بِشْنُ از نَيْ چون حکایت می کند و جدائی ها شکایت می کند. کز نیستان تا مر را بریده هم. In one way, we came from upper level to lower level. And then we return to upper level. And back to our origin. And joined to our origin. And united by the unity. Absolute unity. This is the answer.
Thank you. Thank you indeed. Ahlam Akram.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for such a journey into spiritualism. And it just opened a lot of questions as well as the request answers and request kind of to come back to our common humanity. You have said, we are eternal beings, no death, and each death taking us to another level, another sphere, which, fine. In this one in particular, you are saying that there is reincarnation. Well, if we come back, you know, as you are saying, you know, we go to next levels and we come back and forth. It means that, of course, there is a reincarnation, or perhaps there is nothing certain with whatever we are discussing at this. But I assume that this would be a kind of reincarnation in a way, and that reincarnation, our second life, depends on what we have done, our deeds in the life before, which I agree with you definitely if I want to believe in reincarnation or Sufism. The other point is that you are saying that we are all brothers and sisters. There is no difference, you know, no discrimination or difference between a man and a woman. Do you believe in women's equality in this thing? Equality as exactly as bear a man, which means in this case, there are so many discriminatory natures, different natures in the text. There are some emphasis on the equality and treat them well and all of this, but at the same time we cannot deny that there are specific texts that says put women in their places, you know. Number three is that which is William's question, which I really like it, you said that the eternal life, is there an eternal identity? If I want to believe in reincarnation, all right, and if I want to believe in the identity, I believe that we are enriched with other identities. On the contrary, it takes us to a better level if we respect and accept the difference and the other person identity. And it is so important for our coexistence. Now, you are saying Zahir wal Batin, Zahir wal Batin. And then you are saying, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. If I want to believe in this God, in the God, which I still believe, but I go beyond that to say that I believe that the little conscience God created in us, it is the part of God in us as a human being, to do well, to accept his right to believe, and I don't believe in any other barriers between me and another human being, regardless who says yes or no. We all are a human being, and especially, our common humanity is much more needed in this era, in this life we are living in today. And there is a lot, but thank you so much. I would appreciate your answers.
Thank you, thank you. Here you see, thank you for your various question. But here I would like to emphasize to definition of terminology. You see, sometimes misguide some saying. In Sufism, never ever we believe to tanasukh, reincarnation. We don't believe that. This is in Hinduism. When I talk about different level of life and going from one chapter to another chapter, it does not mean, for example, I am human here, and then because I did bad behavior, my body die, and then my spirit back again to this world, go to the body of, for example, a cat, and then this to this, until I become good, then my spirit become free. No, we don't believe that. In Sufism, we don't believe that. We just say we live in different levels of existence and life, and each level go to the upper level, accept in one way we come down, in another way we go up. When we go up, this is that how we live there, this is depend on how we did in this world. But it does not mean that in Sufi refer to tanasuh. This is very important issue because the some mutakallimin or zahiriyun they make fatwa against Sufi because of this idea that they say, okay, you believe that. No, Sufi doesn't believe this. Just they transfer to another level of the world. And for example, when we go to the Jahan Barzakh intermediate world, then we have the Jismin Nuri, light body, and this spirit will be in the body of light. This is thing. But we will not back again. Our spirit will not back again to this, to the material. We go to upper level and upper level. Spirit. It means our spirit, not body. Body finished in this world, body expired in this world. Our spirit go to the next level. And about the man and woman in Sufi, I didn't get what you said, but in Sufi, there is all man and woman, they are part of humanity. There is differentiation on physical aspect, but their rights they have, all of them, they are equal. In Quran, said, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, they call Ya Ayyuhan Nas, Ya Ayyuhan Lazina Amanu. Then it is not here, the gender, it is not here. For the face, there is no differentiation between man and woman. Woman can become a saint, like a man. And in Sufi, woman representative of beauty of God. And then they have the very essential role in the Sufism, because it is the beautiful representative of the beauty of God. And Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, all this kindness represented at first by the beauty, and beauty it is representative with the woman. Then women in Sufism have very respected. Then it is about the woman and man, and what is the question? Then this two question I remember. Thank you, madam.
Okay, thank you. We have David. Go ahead.
Hey, Namnunam. Thank you, Ayatollah. I enjoyed listening to you, and I realized that as a follower of Jesus, I had very little problem in following you and understanding you and agreeing with you. I believe that the spirit that I have is eternal from the beginning to the end, but there is no end. And I believe and understand what you say about when I was before I was born, I was still a spirit within God. And because of the fall of man through Adam, when I was born into this world, I was born into the sin and death caused by Adam. So that when I was born, I actually died. And it wasn't until I reached a point in my life that I understood the nature of God a little better, that I knew I had to deal with this sinful, dead body that I have and accept a way to get my relationship back with God again for eternity. So understand these different levels. The level being in the spirit before I was born, the dead me born into sin on this earth, my restored relationship with God, and God helping me to face that transition, to get back into a good relationship with Him and to bring other people into that same faith. Your nature of me working with society and doing my best and helping people back to that relationship with God, that's my view of church. And the only difference we have is the nature of the power that helps me in my transition. And I believe that's through another part of this one God, which is Jesus. But the nature of the transition, the nature of the different levels, I can totally accept. I don't believe that it's too important about the nature of my relationship with God in heaven when I die, my mortal body dies. You say about different levels of different kinds of relationship in heaven. I mean, the Bible talks about having different crowns and different things like that. But I believe any relationship with God in heaven is going to be glorious, so it doesn't really matter if there's a lot of glory or a little glory, it's glory, and that's it. And I don't think I'll look back and think, oh, I wish I'd done more, because I would have more glory when I get to heaven. I believe that just being close to God in heaven and having a good relationship with Him, that's going to be enough. I don't need any more glory. But your treatise, as it came out, I could imagine you standing in my church and being a priest in the church, saying the same things, and nobody would have any problem with it, apart from the nature of Christ in that God. But all these things bring us together more. I believe we are, I suppose I'm a Christian Sufi, if you like, if that exists. But I can certainly accept and stand with you in most of what you said. No problem at all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. For all Sufi, you see there are thousands of messengers of God.
Yes.
And for Sufi, from these thousands of messengers of God, two are very important. It means three very important. Moses and Jesus and then Muhammad. Then Jesus, that in the Sufi said, Masih, that give life. Very respectful representative of God. And then, and in Rumi Masnavi, so many verses about Hazrat Isa Masih and Moses. Then Jesus, it is very lovely for all Sufi. And we love him, we respect him, we call him Moses and Muhammad. And we see, we in Sufi, we believe all of them from God and call to him. And all come for calling people and society to love to peace, to ethic, to spirituality. This is Sufi understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayatollah Safavi. Neil.
Thank you. Thank you, Ayatollah Safavi. That was excellent, as always. But, I mean, it covered so much. I just had one question, just to tease out the idea, the concept of the higher supernature, which you talked about. And you described that, if I understood correctly, in terms of this, in a sense, being the essence of God, of Allah. But I got the impression, maybe I misunderstood, that in terms of the current chapter of our existence and our obligations to each other and our role in society, that we need, in a sense, to tap into this essence ourselves, this essence of God, this higher supernature. You mentioned that Sufi masters may guide us. I don't know if, in a sense, that's an informal parallel with clerics or the writings of Rumi or indeed the teachings of yourself, but I wanted to tease out the process in this current chapter of existence of how we attain a greater spiritual understanding, if you like, whether we need to tap into that higher supernature, whether it, in a sense, exists within us, although we may have lost our original purity, and whether we can connect with that. You've recited vikas, meditations. That may, of course, be part of the process of connecting with that of God within us and binding us. But are there other ways and paths that we need to be mindful of? Thank you.
Yes, this is the question about the how we communicate with Holy Supernature. It is a very good question. This is depend on several issues. First of all, we should ask forgiveness for all bad behavior that we did, especially with the society. If we did bad behavior with society, if I am politician, if I am military man, if I am minister, manager, whatever, and I did wrong behavior with society and damaged some people, some society, some nation, then I should in some way change the situation. And after that, I should have positive role in the society, constructive role in the society, give benefit and positive energy to the society. And society, it is beyond of nationality and religion and geography. All of us are member of city of God. In the Sufi way, this nationality, American, Iranian, British, German, there is no this type of nationality. All of us, member of city of God, and then we should have positive. Then in Sufi said term, it is futuwa. Futuwa, it means show generosity to the society. Futuwa, it is based on sakha and safa. It means generosity to the society, and safa, it means purity of your heart. Then, for example, Ali said, La fata illa Ali, la saif illa zulfaqar. Then, after generosity, the society should pure your heart. Pure your heart, it is based on zikr and fikr. Should do meditation and then zikr. Zikr, it means remembrance, different name of Allah, beautiful name of Allah. Allah, Ar-Rahman, 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 Al-Habib, Al-Wadud, Al-Kareem, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Rahim. All of these beautiful names of Allah. Normally, Sufi repeat name of Allah. By repeating this beautiful name of Allah, especially late night and early morning, they try to communicate with super nature and flight from body to absent world. And their spirit flight from the body go to the absent world by this beautiful name of Allah. Then zikr, it is very important. Then muraqaba based, it is on the concentration. At first should concentration, then should muraqaba. In muraqaba, we say, close your eyes, release your mind from everything, and towards your heart, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't say anything. After zikr, when you go to muraqaba, don't say anything. Concentrate and just have attention to him. Then your heart communicate with him. And after a while, the door of absent woe will open to you. And you can smell, you can hear, listen, you can see absent world and beauty of absent world, different level of absent world. Then zikr, fikr, and amal. Amal, it is action. Action, this is good action. Action towards Allah, action towards society. These three issue, main key for communication with Allah. But if you don't have positive role in the society, if even one every night stand and call Allah and do zikr, this doesn't benefit. It is not useful. If you have unjust behavior with people, with society, you pray, your prayer not accepted. If you do sin in some way to yourself, for example, God said you pray, but you didn't pray, okay. But if you have unjust behavior with your society, this will affect on your spirit. And your spirit cannot communicate. Because in Sufism, they said, "An-nas ayalullah." People, they are family member of Allah. And if you have bad behavior with family member of Allah, he will not allow that you come inside of his private home. And Allah cannot forgive your bad behavior towards society. Then in Sufism, first it is practice. Give good services to the society. For example, in the technique that in Sufi way that used, that if you go to Khanqah, to Zawiyah, or if you call to a sheikh, at first he asks you to start to have good services to the community. Do some voluntary work for the society. Divide your wealth by poor people. By this way, try to control selfishness. In Sufi, at first, we should lose our selfishness and should learn to have self-control. Control our angerness, my selfishness. When I control my selfishness, my soul, and let that light of God guide me, then I start to, by zikr and by muraqaba, communicate with him. Then in Sufi, in two words, remember, dear Neil. Sakha and Safa, generosity to the society and pure your heart. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ambassador Hamley wanted to come in. Mark.
Thank you, William. And thank you. Thank you, Syed, once more for a very uplifting presentation this afternoon. Always so much comfort from your words. They make such sense for trying to have a better life. You mentioned that the essence of life is how we live in this world. And of course, you pointed out the importance of having a constructive role, of reaching out to society to perform good deeds. And I think most of us try to do this. All of us are in the end sinners, but we try to find atonement as we go through our lives, try to make ourselves a better human being. But there are those who don't seem to succeed very much, who, frankly, everything which they are against nature. They seem to want to harm planet Earth. They seem to want to cast aspersions on their neighbors. And frankly, I find it difficult perhaps to see these same people moving on towards paradise at one point when their life, this life of theirs on Earth terminates. I was wondering if you could perhaps expand a bit on your views about the manifestation of hell in the Sufi context. If people are, not everyone goes to paradise. Some go down to hell, I guess. Could you expand a bit on what Sufi beliefs are? Can people redeem themselves sufficiently that they will, all their transgressions, be forgiven and move off onto paradise, so the cycle of reincarnation or of continual eternal life but continues? Thank you very much, Syed.
Yes, you see, if anybody have bad behavior in this world, change, this is depend on how he repaid the damage that he paid to the society or to individual. Then until when we are here in this world, we have time to change. But when we die, then there is no opportunity, no time. There is no opportunity. Then we can't change anything. We see the feedback of my behavior, my life in this world. When we go to next level, just we see the consequence of my life. But until I am here in this world, I can change everything, and everybody have opportunity, and God give us opportunity. Because sometimes we do sin because of ignorance. Sometimes because we don't understand. Sometimes because of lose of the self-control. Then, and many times because of qaflat, it is unconsciousness, unawareness. Then God help us to awake, to see reality, raise the question, what are you doing? Raise this question for us. What are you doing? And lead us to change our lifestyle, our way of life, our value of life. This is because many things that we do, it is because of the value. Some value that we follow, it is not value of, it is not divine value, it is material value. Then God, in sometimes when we become sick, when I become ill, when I go to the prison, when I lose my money, my credit in the society, then I feel I am alone, just I am myself and my God. Then I am not minister, I am not president, I am not leader, I am not Ayatollah now, I am not rich man, I am nobody. No any title. When I lose this title, and even when I have title and I become sick, this time is very important. When we become sick, then I feel that
this title that I have, it is not useful. This doesn't help me. Something else can help me. Then I will awake that, okay, what is it? What I am doing? What is next? Then I feel, okay, this is nothing. This war, this challenge, that debate that we have with others, with other nation, with other religion, it is for what? As khyali jangeshan o sulheshan, from imagination we have this type of war. Then when I become well, I try to change my life, my behavior. Then anyway, until when we are here in this life, we can change. And we can repay the damages that we did to the society or other people. But when we go to another level of life, to the next world, no time. It is finito. Just I see the feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Syed.
I think there's room for a supplementary question there, but I won't ask it now. There's something that prompts from Ambassador Hamley. It makes me think about whether Syed believes in the ultimate salvation of all mankind, and I think I take it from that he does. But before you come back, before anybody, dear Jibreen has been waiting patiently to come in, so we let him come in with his point he wanted to make. Jibreen, I hope we can hear you okay, Jibreen, because sometimes I know the reception is bad from where you are. Can you manage to speak to us, Jibreen?
Okay, thank you. Sunnah branch of Islam. Imbalance by not inviting a guest that is from the Sunnah part. The Sufi school of thought belongs to the Sunnah branch of Islam. And in Islam, there are only two branches, Sunnah and Shia. And the speaker that just spoke in, from my understanding, is from Persian. So don't you think that you make a very incorrect placement by inviting a guest that is a Shia and not inviting a guest that belongs to the Sunnah, whereas the Sufism belongs to the Sunni branch of Islam? That is my observation.
We do try and include people from Sunni Islam. In fact, Ambassador Hamley and I went to Al-Azhar in Cairo for that purpose, to bring some senior cleric in from Al-Azhar. It is difficult because there is a reluctance to speak in forums of this kind by senior Sunni clerics. And maybe Bahiyadin will be able to help us in that. It's an honor to have him with us. He's a very senior, influential Egyptian, and maybe he can help us in this effort. We certainly saw the deputy Sheikh Al-Azhar, which was quite an experience and very moving, although we had an official translator who we noticed afterwards. We learned that he didn't translate anything the deputy Sheikh Al-Azhar said. He gave us his own version of things, so this was difficult. It's difficult to carry these things as we would like, but we will try, and indeed we will try again, Jibreen. It's a good, important point. We must include these voices. And just one other little point. Sufis are not exclusively Shiite. There are some wonderful Sunni Sufi groups. Some of them, well, I'm not. Why am I saying this? We have Ayatollah Safavi here, but they are not exclusively Shiite. So just to mention that as a footnote.
This is very essential that it is completely wrong to say Sufi Shia, Sufi Sunni. In Sufism, we don't have Shia and Sunni. This is ignorant understanding of Sufism. Division between Shia and Sunni, this is a theological understanding of Islam. In Sufism, there is no Shia and Sunni. There is just one Islam, and Sufi, who is somebody
who believe that after Prophet Muhammad, the spiritual successor is Ali. And the essence of Islam, it is spirituality. Whoever believes the essence of Islam is spirituality and need a spiritual travel towards Allah is a Sufi. Division Shia and Sunni, it is about the kalam and fiqh, not about the Sufism. It is about the theology and fiqh, not about the spiritual aspect of Islam. The knowledge that cover spiritual aspect of Islam in terminology call it Sufism. Then in Islam we have kalam, fiqh, philosophy, tafsir al-Quran, hadith, and this type of matter. Each of them covers some part of Islam. The knowledge that they cover spiritual understanding of Islam, spiritual aspect of Islam, call it Sufism or Irfan. In Sufism, then there is no differentiation between, there is no Shia and Sunni. This is because we're calling about the spirituality, and the spirituality is the spirituality. Then in Sufi, we see that some of them follow this school of fiqh or that school of fiqh. But all of them, they are Sufi. Then we say this is the Sufism. Then it is not Shia, there is no Shia and Sunni. Then we have, for example, in Misr, in North Africa, we have Shazeliyya. Shazeliyya, all of them refer to Ali ibn Musa Reza, who are in Iraq. And their fiqh, maybe they follow, for example, the Sunni way. But spirituality, they follow the spiritual aspect of Islam. Then we have 14 tariqah in Islam, 14 tariqah Sufism in Islam. And this is based on their geography. This division divided because of the geography issue and the man who are, for example, Sheikh Abul Hassan Shazeli in North Africa, Abu Madian in North Africa, Muhyiddin in Spain, in Khorasan, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Iran, Turkey, for example, Rumi, then Shesafiuddin Ardabili, Najmuddin Kubra in Central Asia, and each of them created their chain. And all of them have unity, sometimes divided because of their techniques that they affected, for example, on this technique or that technique. Then it is very important that there is no Sunni and Shia in Sufism. Just we have Islam and spiritual Islam. Then when we say, even we, there is no respect to all religion, to Christianity, to Judaism, to Buddhism. How? No, we don't do say sect in Islam. When we say, okay, I am a Sufi, I believe to Jesus, to Moses, to Jesus, to Muhammad. How then I can say, okay, there is different sect? No, it is not Sufism. It is not good understanding of the meaning of Sufism.
Bahiruddin, you wanted just to come on in on this.
Yes. First, I want to comment the issue of Sunni and Shiite Islam is viewed very, very differently, especially in various countries. For example, in Saudi Arabia, it becomes a very, very significant issue. And a part of it is also a traditional competition between Al Jazeera Arabia and the Persian culture. So there is a little bit of geographical significance. When you look at areas like Egypt and Sunnis, Al-Azhar started as a Shiite institution and transferred into Sunni, and sometimes we don't even know the difference. So the perception, and this could be a subject to a different discussion, and I don't want to elaborate, of the different origins, which has roots in the Quran about Bani al-Hadar and al-Badiyah or al-Arab. where they have different views on things. It's a very historical and long-rooted issue. The issue of Sufism, essentially, is that one of the best illustrations of what Sufism is a hadith regarding a visit that Prophet Muhammad received from Jibril. He was wearing white and looked like a person, a regular person. And he came and sat with Muhammad and his friends, and he asked Muhammad, "What is Islam?" So the response of Muhammad was, "It is to say La ilaha illallah, God is one, bayna Muhammad and Rasulullah." So it's a statement. It is fasting, it's paying alms, it's praying, and it's going and doing the pilgrimage if you can. And then he looked at him and told him, "What is the iman? What is the faith? So what is Islam? And then what is iman?" And he told him to believe in God and his prophets and his angels. So he taught him correct. And then he moved to something called, to ask him, "What is Ihsan?" And the response of Sayyidina Muhammad was, "Ihsan is to pray to God as if you see him, because even if you do not see him, he sees you." And what is the logic about those three, or what is behind this? You can be a Muslim by only material statements. You speak something, you do something. You don't eat, you pray, you go around the Kaaba. It's all material. What is iman? This is a higher level of Islam. And this is to believe with what you cannot see. To believe in prophets that even at the time of Muhammad, of prior prophets, we haven't seen them. And to believe in his powers, and he believed in his angels, and to believe. So all this is a question of belief. And then the third level is Sufism. And Sufism is almost like oneness with God. You pray to God as if you are with him. You are become almost an entity with God. You supersede your material. You supersede your faith, which is a commitment of belief, to being a oneness with God, or to attain this high kind of purity. This is not an exclusive thing for Muslims. Christians can be Sufis. We as Muslims, Sunnis and Shiites, is absolutely, I mean, distinction that in some cultures like mine have no bearing whatsoever. And finally, I want to say it would be my pleasure to introduce you to some Sufi leaders from Egypt who are, so to speak, Sunnis, but it doesn't really make a difference, because a Sunni Ayatollah, for me, is as revered as a Sunni Ayatollah or a Sunni Sheikh. I find absolutely no difference. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Thank you very much. Bless you. That's really powerfully said, Bahidin. Thank you. We're drawing towards a conclusion. I might ask in a moment or two, a last word from Ayatollah Safavi, perhaps a prayer and a word of thanks, and then we'll close the meeting. But before we do, there are some of you that have not had a chance to speak. Some of the Veronica would like to come in. And if any of the rest of you want to come in, it's your chance to indicate, because we're coming to the end of the meeting. There we are. Okay, Veronica.
I was just going to say that I felt it was all so complicated. It got really complicated with everything. I'm just thinking, just like, be like little children. I just felt, you know, we're making life so complicated. And I just felt, thank you very much for all your things you said, Ayatollah. I really enjoyed them. But I just feel that Sunni and Shia, we're making life so complicated. And I just thought, if we just be like little children, you know, and not make things life so complicated. That was all I was thinking. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, you are right. Completely right. I agree with you. Thank you for your good comment. Very deep comment. Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, Stephen, please come in.
Thank you. If I may say thank you very much indeed, Ayatollah. A very interesting talk. I am very much interested in the cross-cultural difference between the West and parts of the Middle East, which means that we keep on talking past each other when we perhaps are very close in some of the things we ought to be thinking about, yet very distant in the way we approach each other. And I found quite a lot of interest there. One of the examples I quite often use, which I guess from what you're saying you'll be familiar with, is the difference between the secular Maslow's hierarchy of needs and the similar hierarchy of needs that was put forward by the Brethren of Purity, Ikhwan al-Safa, where God is placed as part of the central thinking at each level in comparison to our secular hierarchy of needs. And I'd be very interested in hearing another time about some of these areas where we're close yet so far apart.
Gosh, that's you're taking us to a level of beyond my understanding, Stephen, though I'm sure Ayatollah Safavi is with you there. Is this too much of a subject for now, Ayatollah Safavi, or should we take that on another occasion?
It refers to Ikhwan al-Safa, and it's a very great issue, and inshallah we should talk about this matter in another meeting. Thanks for his deep comment.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. Yes, I'm going to have to do a little revision before we start that meeting, but that's very helpful. Yeah, Alexander, please do come in.
Yes, sorry. So this was a question. I mean, it might be a heavy question, so maybe for another meeting, but it was posed by, I'm not quite sure the first name, Y.M. al-Husseini, Hussein?
Oh, Yahya al-Hussein, yes.
And the question was, how can we reconcile the concept of no absolute individuality with the concept of responsibility of an individual in the Day of Judgment?
Just repeat the question.
Okay, so the question is, how can we reconcile the concept of no absolute individuality with the concept of responsibility of an individual in the Day of Judgment?
Ayatollah Safavi, over to you, and then we'll bring Ambassador Hamley in to close the meeting.
In theology answer, there is individuality in Sufism. As I said, this is just unity and manifestation, and we see the feedback of our action. Manifesto, see feedback of manifesto. Then you should change framework of your understanding of Islam. The Sufi way completely different, have different framework on understanding being, life, humankind, and everything. Everything under shadow of just one being is God. And then just we see the feedback and the different level of existence. Then ordinary understanding of Islam, it is completely far from Sufi understanding of Islam. And I explained in my speech about this matter. I'm not going to repeat that. Then for closing remark, I would like to say that on Sufi understanding of Islam and humankind and culture and civilization, if somebody is Sufi, he loves all humankind, even sinner. There is no nationality. All of us are nation of God. All of us family of God. member of City of God. The dark, light, British, American, African, Iranian, Afghan, all of us same. There is no war between us. And if there is differentiation, this differentiation is just because to understand each other. If there is no similarity, this non-similarity because for know each other. But this is not essential. Then Sufi ask love, spirituality, peace, security for everybody. In Sufi way, we are against of war. We are against of challenge of civilization and culture. We respect to the nature, to all humankind, and ask God to forgiveness all of us. And we call justice for all people. For blessing of this very interesting meeting, I recited for a few minutes one name of Allah to give a spiritual mood to all people, inshallah. I repeat one name of Allah, who it is referred to essential, to essence of Allah, who. Sufi so much emphasize on this name, who, two element, who. And this reciting in the Sufi gathering, I recite for you, inshallah, give you positive energy. Please close your eyes, release your mind, and send your heart attention towards God. Yahu, Yahu, Yahmanuhu, Yahman Laysa Illahu. Yahu, Yahu, Yahmanuhu, Yahman Laysa Illahu. Yahu, Yahu, Yahmanuhu, Yahman Laysa Illahu. Yahu, Yahu, Yahmanuhu, Yawman laysa illahu. Yahu, Yahu, Yawman hu. Yawman laysa illahu. Yahu, Yahu, Yawman hu. Yawman laysa illahu. Yahu, Yahu, Yawman hu. Yawman laysa illahu. Yahu, Yahu, Yahman hu, Yahman laysa illahu. Yahu, Yahu, Yahman hu, Yahman laysa illahu. Yahu, Yahu, Yahman hu, Yahman laysa illahu. Thank you, brother and sister. Open your eyes. Now, dear Mark, you give final say.
Amen. Amen, dear Syed. Thank you once more, Ayatollah Safavi, for your wise words and expression on this universal topic of death, its introduction to the next level. I think all of us can subscribe to the Sufi prescription of the essence of life. It's closely aligned to how we live in this world. You provided us with much food for thought as we return to our daily day's activities. And you inspired many of us on the need to play a constructive role in society and to strive for greater purity of heart and love for our neighbors, all of them. I know I speak for all of us when I express our deep appreciation to you, dear Syed, for your uplifting expressions of generosity, purity, sincerity, humility, and love drawn from the great traditions and teachings of Sufi Islam.
Shukran.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May bless all of you.
Shukran. Thank you. Ada Hafiz. Thank you, Saeed. Bless you. Ah, well, there we are. Bless you all. Thank you so much for being with us. That's really good of you to be here.